This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my good colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing his column for Real Clear Politics about Professor Robert George. The title of the column, Professor George is Right, Principle Sustains American Conservatism. We're plunging into the Republican Party and its head-spinning arguments about the Constitution and the freedom of speech, and certainly the word conservative as reorganized by William F. Buckley once upon a time in the 20th century. Peter, a very good evening to you. What do we need to know about Professor Robert George? Who is he?
Professor Robert George is a distinguished figure at Princeton University. He's been teaching there since, I think, the early 1990s, maybe even the late 1980s. He is regarded as one of the top teachers of the natural law tradition at Princeton. He also teaches constitutional law, the constitutional tradition. He's a major not only scholar but public intellectual in the United States, and recognized for his contributions around the world. A man of great substance.
It appears inadvertently he's been plunged into the controversy at the Heritage Foundation of unacceptable language used by various characters and not repudiated by the Heritage Foundation. But it does not appear that Professor George meant to get entangled. What happened?
Well, this is a bit of a story, as you know. In late October, Tucker Carlson hosted on his podcast Nick Fuentes, a white nationalist, an anti-Semite, a misogynist, a promulgator of conspiracy theories. Tucker Carlson treated him with kid gloves. This provoked, appropriately, controversy over why Tucker Carlson was giving a platform to such a person. A few days later, for no at least obvious reason, Kevin Roberts, the president of the Heritage Foundation, videotaped a message to the world in which he said, "We stand by our friend Tucker Carlson. We will not allow," I use Roberts' language now, quote, "venomous coalitions," close quote, to separate us from Tucker. And Roberts did acknowledge differences of opinion with Nick Fuentes, but he seemed, he really did seem to take Tucker Carlson's side. 2 days later, Robbie George, who is Professor George, Robbie George, himself posted a statement on X, and Robbie is on the board of advisors at the Heritage Foundation, in which he was unequivocal. He reaffirmed his commitment to, quote, "the profound, inherent, and equal dignity of each and every member of the human family." He insisted that that idea is inscribed in America's founding political documents. And he made absolutely clear that such a principle is a principle embraced by American conservatism, and it cannot include or accommodate white supremacists, racists of any type, anti-Semites, or anybody, any figure that's incompatible with recognizing the equal and inherent dignity of all human beings. In his statement, George did not name names, but it was absolutely clear from the context that he was directing his remarks toward Kevin Roberts and Heritage, and indicating that only the sharpest possible break with Tucker Carlson, not ending friendship, that's up to Kevin Roberts, but making clear that Tucker Carlson's increasingly toxic opinions about Jews and conspiracy theories have no place inside the conservative movement. That was George's message.
I read from the X filing. "I will not, I cannot," writes the professor, "accept the idea that we have no," quote, "no enemies to the right," end quote. "The white supremacists, the anti-Semites, the eugenicists, the bigots must not be welcome into our movement or treated as normal or acceptable." The professor is writing about something that's confusing when you first come across it. I've watched Kevin Roberts' statement now saying we're not going to cancel Tucker Carlson because of his interview with this Mr. Fuentes, and that the word cancellation is used as that's what we don't do. But Professor George goes on to say, is this a call for cancellation, in quotes? No. It's a reminder that we conservatives stand for something, or should stand for something. We have core principles that are not negotiable. Peter, I learned that we'll take a little sting out of this. In the 1950s, William F. Buckley, the founder of the National Review, and an inspiration to all these young people who were watching the video of the presentation from Heritage, had this similar problem, but in those days they were called the John Birch Society. He had to make it very clear that they're not acceptable. Why is that not a lesson that repeats itself now? Is it because Buckley's lost to these young people?
Well, first, I think it is a lesson that urgent, pertinent today. And increasingly, Buckley is lost to these people. Kevin Roberts is closely connected with a movement on the new right, national conservatism. Some of that movement's theoreticians have made clear that they need to reject, transcend Buckley's form of conservatism. It's too constraining. It does not know what time it is. It must be overcome. So increasingly, the younger generation of conservatives is actually not aware of the history of their own movement, not aware of Buckley's signal contributions, and not aware that on this question, anti-Semitism, William F. Buckley did his best and for a time succeeded in purging anti-Semitism from the conservative movement.
Your column mentions John Smirak, writing at Chronicles, who is critical of Professor George. How so?
Well, Smirak imagines a Robert George that doesn't exist. He imagines a Robert George that knows only of universal principles. A Robert George who is innocent of the particulars of American society, has no interest in America's traditions, the particular institutions, the character of the people who live in the United States. And so, on the basis of these universal principles, promulgates all kinds of dangerous notions. For example, that we must have open borders because all human beings are created equal. This, of course, is nonsense. This is not Professor George's view. He's offered his views on immigration. He's made clear that secure borders are entirely consistent with the principle that all human beings are created equal, because some of those equal human beings decide to form nation states, and those nation states, to secure their universal rights, those nation states have to have rules and regulations. But Professor George's same commitment to inherent dignity enables him to appreciate the benefits that immigration has conferred on the United States over the years, the decades, the centuries. And so Professor George is in favor of lawful immigration, and especially lawful immigration that's designed to assimilate people to the best in America's political traditions.
Professor George is repeating what William F. Buckley discovered in the 50s, that we do have enemies to the right, and they must not be accepted in any fashion or vouchsafed or presented on a video made by a popular hero of the conservatives, Carlson. That would be not permitted under William F. Buckley's guidance. Do I say that correctly?
You do, and I will distill. Universal principles apply to everybody. They can be violated not only by people on the left, but they can be violated by people on the right. A person on the right, a person to the right of you, has no exemption from these universal principles, especially the great founding principle of this country, the equal inherent dignity of all human beings.
And so we come to the controversy at Heritage, which we leave behind us, and come to the controversy apparently in the conservative movement. It's not Republican, it's not Democrat, it's the conservative movement, that we've got a younger generation that needs to do some reading. Is that a fair conclusion to this particular view?
Yes, it is a fair conclusion. There are many young people on the right who have been as ill-served by the failures of our educational system as people on the left. Of course, as you know, almost nobody at our universities reads about the conservative tradition in the United States. That the number of courses that teach about Hayek and Russell Kirk and William F. Buckley and Irving Kristol and more, number of those courses across the United States is very small indeed. It would be a great contribution if our political science departments and our history departments would do a better job of making our students familiar with an essential school of American political thinking.
Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.